This message is brought to you by DSPS. TikTok and YouTube Reels are great fun for memes, recipes, and shaking your booty. But did you know that there are natural ways to trigger your brain to release dopamine? Exercise, sunlight, and sleep are just a few ways for you to get that little boost of those good feels and energy. At Doomscroll Prevention Service, we want you to be your best self. So just take that D out and scroll a normal amount. DSPS is not responsible for poor messaging and is in need of marketing overhaul.
We're going to be dropped into
internet
dressed as civilians. Once we're in enemy territory, as a bushwhacking guerrilla army, we're going to be doing one thing and one thing only.
Answering Redditor's questions.
Now, I don't know about y'all, but I sure as hell didn't come down from the goddamn Smoky Mountains across 5,000 miles of
cyberspace.
Find my way through half a
r/askreddit.
And jump out of a fucking aeroplane to teach the
Redditors
these lessons in humanity.
Redditor.
You ain't got no humanity. They're the foot soldiers of a Jew-hating, mass-murdering maniac, and they need to be destroyed. That's why any and every sumbitch we find wearing an
Reddit. Be given advice.
We will be cruel to the
Redditors.
Through our cruelty, they will know who we are. They will find the evidence of our cruelty in the disemboweled, dismembered, and disfigured bodies of their brothers we leave behind us.
And the Redditor
will be able to help themselves. But imagine the
quasi advice
their brothers endured at our hands and our boot heels. And the edge of our
condenser mics.
And the
Redditor
will be sickened by us. And the
Redditor
will talk about us. And the
Redditor
will fear us. And when the
Redditor
closes their eyes at night and they're tortured by their subconscious for the evil they have done, it will be with thoughts of us that they are tortured with. Sound good?
Yes, sir!
That's what I like to hear. But I got a word of warning for all you
would-be listeners.
You join my command, you take on debit. A debit you owe me, personally. Each and every
listener,
my command owes me 100
five-star reviews.
And I want my
reviews.
And all y'all will get me 100
five-star reviews.
Taken from the heads of 100
lovely listeners.
Or you will die trying.
My name's Brandon.
I'm Jake.
And I'm Matt.
And this is Qualified Nonsense.
That was unexpected and very Mad Libby.
Yeah, it was. No, that's a good point. Mad Libs was it. So I have a question, Brandon. How many times did you record Redditors, or did you use the same clip?
No, I just used the same clip over and over.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I also chose a clip about killing Nazis for no particular reason.
Understood. Yeah. Subtext.
No particular order. just killing Nazis.
That was unaliving.
Oh, sorry.
Oh,
sorry. We are live on this platform right now. Unaliving Nazis.
I don't know. I feel like you should get a pass if you say Nazis. Like if it's unaliving, if it's kill and then followed immediately by Nazis, you should get like a, man, you're all right.
I don't know the individuals that are responsible for this being back or
true
have made their own signs.
Not wrong.
Well,
how's everyone going, guys?
Great. Doing well. Got back from a small Pacific Northwest excursion to visit my brother's new family member and family, and that was fun. But it was a quick jaunt up and down, so that was the majority of my excitement and weekend.
And you didn't tell us that you were in the Great Pacific Northwest.
It's not like that, Matt. Yeah.
Yeah, we could have done a live podcast.
How long were you here? When did you come out?
I flew in Friday late, and then I left Monday.
Oh, geez, that was quick.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't, advise that necessarily.
That almost although, seems like, were you like at the airport and in an airplane more than you were actually?
It was Portland? About the same, about even Steven. Although on my flights back, so I flew to San Diego and then from San Diego to Charlotte and then Charlotte to Durham.
Jeez.
Because that was the cheapest. And I was like, wow, this is going to be a hateful trip back. Turns out not so hateful because I got upgraded from San Diego to Charlotte. And then again, from Charlotte to Durham to business class. And I've never flown business class before. And I felt quite luxurious.
Tell me about it.
So you get a lot of business done?
No, I got almost no business done. Well, I got business of sleep done. And because it was a red eye back, and normally I don't sleep very well on planes because of the seat size and my height and weight, and it was pretty nice in business class. And it's, even though like normally they're exorbitantly priced, I feel like I get why people pay the extra amount. And if I had the disposable income, I would. I don't, but if I did, I'd totally understand because it's comfy.
Well, depending on how much you drink, you could even it out, like even out the cost.
Well, so I've heard that, but it was a red eye and I was also like sleepy and like not. Yeah, I wasn't about to drink a ton.
Wait, what's the difference between business class and first class?
I think it's the same thing. It's just branding.
Wait, so what leg of the journey did you fly business? All three of them?
From, I flew Alaska down to, from PDX to San Diego. And
right.
And from San Diego to Charlotte, I flew business. So first class for the longest leg.
I was going to say, that's...
No, I totally made out like a bandit. And every time someone came over to like... I'm so uncomfortable in that situation. Every time someone came over to like ask me if I wanted to drink or needed anything, I fully expected them to be like, I'm so sorry, there was a mistake, you need to move back. That's not my, I didn't find comfort. Like, it was very comfortable, but I did not find comfort in the very apparent elitism that is the first class. So, but I've
flown it a couple times before, and like it is there is like a level of service that you're not really used to as
yeah
someone who's always flown coach. Like one of them, they came by with hot towels, but they were like all like rolled up on a tray, and I didn't know what it was because it just looked like a marshmallow sort of. It's like all like rolled up,
pop it in your mouth.
And like I asked, I was like, what is this? And she was like, oh, it's a hot towel so you can like rinse your hands off. And I was like,
you just okay. Put it in your mouth. You're like, do I eat it or?
Yeah.
That, I mean, that happened. I flew first class for the first time when we went to Mexico, right? From PDX to LA. They called me up and like, we need to bump you. And I was like, oh, I thought I was getting bumped entirely.
No.
But they're like, they're bumping me to first class. And it was like, do you want anything? And we were the first flight out. So I was like, can I have coffee? And they're like, yeah, you can have coffee. I was like, do you want anything in it? I was like, can I have something in it? Like, did you have that experience, Jake?
Yeah. I mean, so I knew, so having had friends who have flown first class more regularly, they make an effort to do what Brandon said, which is like try to drink their way to the cost of the flight being worth it. Which respect, but I can't drink like that. So I didn't bother trying, but I did definitely get the sort of like elevated level of service of being like having someone be like, I, you know, my name is so-and-so, I'll be taking care of you this flight. If you need anything to make it more comfortable, please let me know. And I'll be, you know, and the attentiveness was, yeah, again, like you said, Brandon, like it's unfamiliar to me. So I was kind of like, what is going on right now?
But see, now you've tasted it. Now you can't go back.
Well, so that's, I was telling my parents that, and I was telling Anna that too. Yeah, it's like when you get into something like wine or cigars. Like if you get really, really into it, then suddenly $10 bottle or even the $20 bottle starts to be like, ooh, I don't really care for that. I'd much prefer the $50 bottle or the
$30 cigar. I can only smoke the finest of cloves.
Right, exactly. Cloves, man. Have you guys, when was the last time you had a clove?
I don't know that I ever.
I've never had a clove.
You've never had a clove?
Somebody that did smoke them for a period of time and they're just like god awful.
I knew someone in Mexico that smoked them, and I don't think I ever smoked one, but it was in the presence of it, and it was just like very, very, it felt like,
I feel like it's always like artsy women who wear like flowy dresses like big hair, like a lot of hair. Like, those are always the type of people who smoke them.
The like cloves I find to be very the most pretentious thing you could smoke.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's people that don't like smoking anyway, but they like to have like that right, aspect they like
to,
about
they,
them.
They like to do this, that, yeah.
It's like, I don't know.
I knew someone in New York who was like, he smoked, and then he was like, you know, if I'm, oh, and New York cigarettes are like 15 or 16 bucks a pack. Like, they're very expensive. And I knew a guy who was like, well, if I'm going to spend 16 bucks on a pack of like regular cigarettes, I may as well spend the extra $5 to get these like super schmancy French ones that were like super thin and like, you know, extra special tobacco from wherever. But they smelled really good. I mean, like as good as cigarettes can smell, like on the better side of what cigarettes smell like. And, you could tell by the shape of them, they just looked extra pretentious. And I remember other smokers being like, fuck you, man, whatever, with your fucking pretentious cigarettes.
There is something like, I don't know, as somebody that was like a former smoker, there is something that smells really good about it.
Oh, that's so interesting. As a former smoker, you're saying that it smells, because I know a ton of former smokers that are like, I can't stand it now. I stay all the way away from it. And
oh, I love the smell. Like it's,
I don't like the smell of cigarettes.
Really? I find it to be like super clothes. Nostalgic. Yeah. It makes me feel like I'm at the races. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's like the white trash in me.
I kind of like walking into like a bowling alley or a bar or something where you can still kind of faintly smell cigarette smoke. I kind of
yes,
like
they used
that,
to smoke here 15 years ago. Yeah, that's the good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd hate to peel back the drywall though, because you know if you can smell it, it's in the walls, like it's in the you can't get that smell out.
Smells like Marlboro Reds, divorced dads, and bowling league. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Well, it sounds like a good week. You got to fly business class. You got to enjoy the finer things inadvertently. Or no, not inadvertently. You booked it.
So. Yeah. Well, I booked it. I don't know how I got it, but I booked it. So I'll take it. What about you guys? What did you get up to this last weekend?
This week I was finally not sick, so that was great. Hey. I don't know. We went like somewhat viral on this platform that we're live streaming on right now, which is kind of cool. So I've been monitoring and maintaining that. So I've been spending a lot of my life on my phone, which is not different than many other days of my life. So
it just makes it sound like you're more productive than
right. Yeah. Absolutely. So that's a pretty standard week for me. I got a wicked cough, but outside of that, it's fine.
Since they can't hear us, can we say what the platform is, Jake and I?
Yeah, you can. I just won't upload it to.
Well,
wait. Why can't
they're
we?
They're weird about like saying locations and where you're at and what platforms you talk about. Like they can hear all that. So people are very cautious. Nope, the one we're live streaming on right now.
But isn't it their platform? If we say their platform, they don't like it.
If I say it out loud, yeah. It's strange. I don't make
China.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
Huh. All right.
Don't get us banned, Brandon.
Nice.
We finally just got unbanned. So.
My apologies to the People's Republic of China. My week was good. We Friday night we went to a comedy show and saw Steph Tolliv, if you know who she is. If not, you should look her up. She's really funny. Saturday, a Christmas present that I got Krisha was, she's a big Harry Potter guy, and I'm not, but the Eugene Symphony was playing along to the fourth movie.
Oh, cool.
So I got her tickets to see that.
Did you enjoy live. It though? Like my kids, so yeah, they get to read. They read a book and then they get to watch the movie. But like my kids, I don't know if your kids are the exact same, Jake, but mine are all into the baking shows. Uh-huh. And there's the, like there's the Harry Potter baking show on Max. But like Margo's been coming home with all these different, like there's multiple Harry Potter baking cookbooks, but now she has like a Harry Potter cookbook. So it's not just Ooh. Baking stuff.
That's cool. So my kids enjoy the baking shows, but we'd heard about the Harry Potter one, but we hadn't seen it.
There's some guest judges that come out and it's like, who is that? It's like, well, they're not, you haven't seen them yet or even read about them. So yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I enjoyed the experience. There was a family of six, I think, sitting like right next to us. And they had like little kids.
Ah.
And that was kind of obnoxious. But it wasn't cheap.
Let's hear the dink talk about how annoying kids are.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it wasn't cheap to go to. Like, it wasn't, just going to the movies. So I was kind of surprised that they brought like the whole family, like even like little, like 3-year-old kids. But.
Oh, that's young. I was going to say, also the movie itself was kind of
like it had kind of scary parts. So,
yeah, the fourth one has definitely some moments.
But I also, I know for sure I've seen the first two, but I haven't seen any after that except for this one. And so I was kind of lost for, I mean, I could follow it well enough, but like there's, I don't know. I just like I, the, Harry Potter stuff just isn't for me.
Harry Butthole Pussy Potter.
Yes.
I do love a symphony though, like seeing a whole ensemble of players. I just think that's fantastic. So.
Well, yeah, and like they did great. Like you couldn't tell that, you know, I mean it sounded like music that was incorporated in the movie. And yeah, it was really good.
I've always kind of wanted to do one of those. I see like the John Williams things, and actually the Harry Potter ones before, but I was just unsure if they'd be good or not, but they are. You liked it, even for being
familiar. Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, you're just watching the movie. They do have an intermission, so it's a little different, but... yeah, they just play the movie and then play the score along with the movie. I did go see Dirty Dancing like that, but it was with an actual like band, and they sang the music that was
that's fun.
Along with because Dirty Dancing is mostly like pop music score,
yeah,
and or soundtrack, and they so they like performed the music live as the movie was playing, and that was fun. Hmm. But yeah, the orchestra one, yeah, they're really good, really talented.
Go check out your local symphony and orchestra.
It is kind of sad in a way, I guess, that, well, I don't know, I was thinking about it, and it seems like that's like the bigger draw are the like more pop culture-y sort of things than, you know, like going to see like a Bach symphony or a Beethoven or whatever. But then I was thinking like
it's more approachable.
That music was popular back then, and like, you know, movie scores are basically the classical music of today.
I think like the orchestras that perform the music from the movies is kind of like a gateway to get people interested in like, hey, this is how music is actually conducted and performed, and it's relatable to you versus like Hey, you don't know that old Beethoven tune? Huh, interesting. Well, come listen and find out. But like, if you can watch Harry Potter along with it and see that being performed live, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think it's also probably pretty great for young people also to, well, and actually old people too, but I find that it's always so interesting to hear about like film budgets, and you're like, wow, how'd they spend, you know, X number of $100 million. And there's so many people involved in the making of a film. And I think, you know, only a small subset of that is making the score, but think of any major motion picture. It's got music, and someone's got to make that music. And in a lot of cases, when it's not synthesized, you've got like a 50 piece, or maybe not like 25, 30 piece orchestra that's making the noises for the, sort of the building of suspense or the feel good, you know, tunes. I don't know. I think it's pretty cool.
That's kind of, so when we were in Mexico, we took a night off, and my kids watched I think it was Angry Birds, the movie. Yep. And there was another movie coming up after it, and it was on TV. So there's nothing we can do to fast forward or just skip and they're like, whose names are all of these? I was like, well, these are called credits, and this is how many people it takes to make this movie. You'd be surprised. So yeah, like the credit aspect is, I think we're going to make the kids now watch every single one and be like, this is what it takes to make these movies that you really enjoy.
Yeah.
Sit down and watch it.
It is pretty fun because, yeah, you're absolutely right. Like each one of those individuals with a name, like, had a part to play in some
capacity. Well, and they did say at the end of the Harry Potter, or at the beginning of the Harry Potter movie, they said, you know, normally people leave during the credits of a movie, but we suggest you stay because we do play through the entire credits. So, yeah. You know,
which is still really like, yeah. I mean, the fact that I think that's really cool that they don't force you, but encourage you to sit down. It's like, look, we're still playing, the credits are rolling, but this is still orchestral music that has been created. So sit down and enjoy it.
Yeah. Have you guys been to an orchestra that isn't playing for a movie? Like, have you sat through a symphony or something?
No.
I feel like I have.
Yeah. I just don't remember. I know that I have. I don't remember what it was for.
I know that I have only because I was on the younger side and I learned very quickly that you don't clap after each song.
Yeah.
Like, it's
stand up after every song. Like, yes. Woo, sit down.
No, it's, but yeah, because especially people who are familiar with the music. Exactly. movements, it's just like the orchestra sort of resets for a second and everyone like gets to the right page and what have you. But it's a silent moment that no one does anything, including the audience. And there's like sometimes whispers, but like mostly it's just dead silent. And you always can hear the people who are unfamiliar with going to this, because you hear like one or two people start to applaud and they quickly realize that no one else is, and then they stop.
You hear Brandon in the back being like,
somebody shut this goddamn kid up.
How many times did you say that to the family next to you?
No, I didn't say anything to them. I just quietly stewed to myself.
Have you ever said anything to anyone in a theater that you've been upset with?
Or have you loudly shushed anybody?
We went, what did we go see? I don't even remember, but we were watching a movie and there were people directly behind us. They were talking literally throughout the entire movie. And it got to like a quiet part. And I just said, like, I just went like, can you please be quiet? And like, that's all I did. And then they were like, I don't, they said something. They're like, I don't even know what they said, but then they were quiet for the rest of the time. And then they like, as soon as the movie was over, they got up and like ran out of the theater. They were the first ones. But like they it's were like just having most, like a full like full volume conversation.
So then I says to Mabel, I says.
But I hate, like I wasn't an asshole.
I would have turned around and be like, shut the fuck up. Yeah. And thrown my popcorn out. I'm like, fuck off.
Yeah. The we are going next month to another one where it's this group called the Queen's Cartoonists, and they're they play music and do sound effects along with like old like 30s and 40s cartoons and stuff. And
oh nice, like wait, like they do like Foley work, like that sort of thing.
I guess like yeah, they like that's play cool. music along with it.
Interesting. Yeah.
But anyway, why don't we take a little break?
Take a little break.
We'll be right back.
Question.
Is a breaky boo.
All right. We'll be right back.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
And welcome back. Feel free to drop us a line at qualifiednonsense@gmail.com or connect with us on our socials. We can't say what they are, but you know.
You know. Bing.
Wink.
Bing.
You know where to find us.
So I believe, Matt, you have a question for us.
I do have a question. Wait, this is what you... Oh, I do. Thank you for asking, Brandon. I thought you'd never ask.
Do I do that every time?
I
wouldn't surprise me.
All right, I got one. It's about pets.
You
again.
Polite
last
asshole.
Last week I asked about the Venus cat trap, the tummy belly rubs with cats.
I was like, what? Okay, yeah, got it.
I just enjoy that somebody called it the Venus cat trap because I think that's pretty clever. This one is from No Stupid Questions subreddit user excellent kale 6162. Side note, kale is never excellent. This does anyone else let their pets know that they're leaving? Or sorry, let me restart that. Does anyone else let their pets know they'll be back later when they're leaving the house? So when
like
you're leaving
verbally?
The house, yeah. Do you ever like leave your house and be like for me, it'd be Loki, be like, hey Loki, I'll be back later. I'll be back at 5 or whatever. Like, do you converse with your pets to let them know what time you'll be back? Like with the assumption that they care.
Yes.
Cause I know I do.
I do with not even my pets. Yeah.
With your chickens?
Oh, yeah, that's true. No, I do converse with my chickens, but I don't tell them when I'm leaving. I just tell them, like, don't worry, I'm going to get you food or oh, I'm sorry, it's so cold out here. You'll be fine, sort of stuff.
Then you pet them on the back and rouse them up.
I do also tell them to stop fucking off because sometimes they're really difficult to get back in. And I'm like, fuck you guys. Why? No, just go back in. And then they, like... Instead of like doing what they're supposed to do when you're trying to, well, anyway, that's neither here nor there. But yeah, I talk to the chickens.
Brandon, do you talk to your cats? Do you ever yeah. let them know?
Yeah, yeah. I'll just say, all right, we'll be back. We're going to the store or whatever. You know,
like
never like, you know, like oh, we'll be back at 6:30. But if you know we aren't back by this time, then call the police. Like I don't do anything like that. But
okay. I do too. I was like, all right, bye Loki, we'll be back in a little bit. And she's
okay,
just like
so
sits there
real,
with her one
the real
eye.
Question, the real question then is that do you have voices for your animals and
oh,
respond
yeah.
to yourself
uh-huh.
when you tell them? They're like, okay.
So Loki has an underbite, right? She
yeah,
has a
yeah.
wicked
he's
underbite.
A,
and
he's
now
a, he's a goofy looking dog.
She,
I'm sorry, she, forgive me.
So and now she only has one eye.
I know. Poor
and
thing.
So it's like
Baby Hagrid. Baby pretty now.
It's always like the like most helpless. Like, bye, Loki. We'll be acting like, okay. Oh, jeez. It's like a fucked up Little John.
Yeah, my voice, I basically for like every cat I've owned is just sort of like a Cartman type voice. And like, no, I don't want you to know, put me like that kind of a like, put me down. No, I, like it's sort of just kind of like a sassy, high pitched kind of voice.
That's really good.
With some of the top comments here, throw away y'all, Dan says, yes, I do. I even pick one of my cats to be in charge when I'm gone.
So, that's really funny.
Excellent. Kale responded with, this is some serious management skills. So, yeah, I saw this question. I was like, actually, I definitely do that with my pets too. I was like, whenever we stand up, our dog is going on 13 and she's still like, the minute you put on your shoes, she's like, we're going. I was like, yeah. No, like, girl, hey, come on. I'm just going to the store. I'm going to go pick up the kids from school. Yada, yada, yada. I was like, not right now, buddy.
No, nope. Sorry.
Although on the contrary, I don't know if your cats do this, Brandon, but like, you show up and they can hear the doors shut outside and they're like, oh God, they're home. And like, we'll unlock the door and open it. And we come inside and Loki's like, oh, they're back. And it's like, it's like, yeah. I wish I would be that excited about somebody just returning home.
I had go ahead. Oh.
Yeah. I was going to say, yeah, our cat Benny usually greets us at the door whenever we get home. And it's always, it's nice, but you know, if we're coming back from the grocery store and we're like carrying in a whole bunch of stuff, it's always a hassle to, because he's just standing right in the way. But
yeah. Can't we just kick him out of the way?
Get out of the way.
Yeah. Move. Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty short question. Not much to write home about. I just saw it and I thought it was pretty, I don't know. It's just something I never thought about. And I was like, actually, I do that. Yeah. I want my pet to be validated, even though like, even though you're leaving and you know, it could be 15 minutes. Your pet is just like, they can't understand what you're saying, but you're like, I'm going. It's like, oh, are you coming back?
Yeah. What do you think that is about? Sort of, I guess language also, like, do you think that, I always think about that in different countries, like, you know, dogs in Germany speaking German or dogs in Mexico or Latin America country speaking Spanish. And so because it always feels like you can communicate, even if you're like, if nothing else in generalities. And so I do think about, like different languages.
Have you seen the videos of the pets that exist in other countries, like the Italian husky, for example? They're like, it's an Italian guy talking, he's like, who's a good, and the pup and the dog is like,
oh yeah, huskies are great. Yeah,
like it picks up the inflections that they have with different dialects. I don't know, I found it kind of interesting. Like, there was a compilation of all the other
Don't dogs get like really anxious when you leave because they think that you're abandoning them or that you're never going to come back?
They do. And there was actually a study that I saw recently that said dogs lose sleep over like worries. Like they have just like general basic worries. And I was like, how could a dog lose sleep over worry? Like, everybody's at home, everybody's asleep. You just got fed. You know you're going to get fed in the morning. It's like, how could a dog have any worries?
Well, you think about genetics, like, you know, dogs are bred for all sorts of reasons, but the main one is for some version of protection. And like that dog that hung out in the field with the animals that you were talking about a few episodes ago.
Oh, yeah, you know? Buddy.
Like, I bet those dogs have just like normal anxiety of like they've got a job to do, and I would imagine they want to do the job well. I don't know. That's a good
point. I guess that dog probably wonders like what are the sheep that I protect with most of the hours of the day? Like, what are they doing right now? Because I can't be with them. Unless sure. He sleeps with them, I don't know. But like,
I think he does. But yeah.
There's probably that
something anxiety. I've heard about cats is that cats think that when you leave, you're going out to hunt. But I mean, I have no idea how they figure that out or know that. But
yeah,
what would cats do if like you showed back up to the house with a mouse, like a dead mouse, and just like presented it to them?
They'd be like, I've seen bigger.
Nice try. You probably bought that.
Yeah, it's probably frozen.
I don't know. That's that was my question. I found it kind of interesting, but yeah, different question. Tangents.
Jacob, Mr. Yeah, Diddles, what do you have for us?
Thank you for calling me by my Christian name.
And for the listeners, that's it, just so we don't call him that, or he's not known as Mr. Diddles or anything like that.
Oh no, no, let's bring in our next guest. Oh hey, Jake, take a seat. This is Chris Hansen.
We could choose what our screens say on here for our names, and Jake happens to be Mr. Diddles.
And yeah, I can, you know, Matt, we haven't said
you guys.
Matt's Tally Whacker.
That's my Christian name.
Oh, L'chaim. No, that's not right. Okay, so my question is, what is your favorite trick question or riddle? This is from Ask Reddit, Shrek and Donkey 123, original name. But do you guys have any sort of like funny anecdote-y sort of riddles or trick phrases that you have ever enjoyed?
This is kind of a hard one to come up with on the spot.
I guess I'll probably say
I'm terrible at this. Like, Margot came home for a period of time and she was doing riddles, and I don't want to say they're infuriating, but they're pretty frustrating because like I'm not good at puzzles or riddles or things like that. And she's like, what's something that is brown but you can't destroy or whatever? I don't know. I was like, I don't know. Like, stop it.
Go to your room.
Yeah. Get out of here. Go to bed. It was like, I'm not good at riddles, and like, that's so far outside of my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Well, so I've got one from Cora Dreams here to wet the whistle, as it were, so that you can think about your answers next time. If I have something stupid like this, I'll give you guys a heads up so you can think about it. But how much dirt? So this is from Cora Dreams. How much dirt is in a hole that is 3 feet wide, 4 feet long, and 6 feet deep?
How much dirt?
Mm-hmm.
That much.
None. It's a hole.
Oh, God. See?
No.
You. See, no, well, I see that Tally Whacker is pretty triggered right now.
I hate this stupid shit.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you didn't think about that because the knot goes backwards. Yeah, but if you did the knot forward, then it wouldn't have been backwards. I was like,
oh. Yeah, that's good.
The ultimate gotchas. God, I despise them so much.
Something that's not on here is I've heard before, but I heard again on a podcast that was amongst. I don't remember the name of the actor. But she's an actor and comedian, and they were talking about like how old you have to be to become president, and someone retorted, or rather someone said, you have to be, you know, whatever it is, 47 to be for a man to become a president. And the other person was like, no, it's anyone can become a president. And the other person's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I said that, like, because it's a feminist show, and they were talking about that. And then that brought to light the question, that's a riddle, which is like, a man and his son are driving, and they get into a terrible car accident, and the man dies in the car accident, and the son is in critical condition, brought to the hospital, and the doctor comes in to work on him, and the doctor says, I can't work on this person. He is my son. How does that make sense?
Because the doctor is a woman.
Right. So that's the thing. And a lot of people are like, oh, gay dads, or is oftentimes this is how people get there. But yeah, it's a sort of a trick question that a lot of people fail, but nice job, Brandon. You're a feminist. Thank you for your service. Your purple heart is in the mail.
What can go up a chimney down, but can't go down a chimney up?
Santa Claus.
What?
I don't know.
What can go up a chimney down, but can't go down a chimney up?
I can't even figure that one out. Like, I can't even figure out the words in that one, but okay, go ahead. What?
An umbrella.
What can go... Matt is so angry.
All right. Next question.
Yeah, geez. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't know that this was going to be so...
I just...
So like, triggering.
No, the whole riddle thing is like, I think people have spent way too much time on them to be like, ooh, but it is like, but did you think about it this way? Like, I don't know.
I thought this was going to be kind of a throwaway question, but
it's not a throwaway question.
You're going to be able to get some clips off of this, Matt, because your facial expressions when we're going through these.
Krisha gets mad at me because she'll come to me with like a riddle. And I'll actually think about it, and I'll try to figure it out. I'm like, no, don't tell. Like, and she wants to tell me like the answer, but I want to try to figure it out.
I find riddles to like be something that somebody has gone so far out of their way to be like, you know what? They'll never think about this. It's like, I'll get them.
I've got a good
it's like,
one.
Who cares?
That
just
Matt,
the little brain teaser.
What's 5 feet long and 4 feet wide? Blah blah blah. And it's like how much dirt fits in it? It's like, no, because it's a hole. You dumb shit.
No, I didn't. Okay, so you'll like this one. This is from Nervous Underpen under 6354, and they say, "What is something that is yours, yet everyone uses it more than you?"
Your name.
Yep. Okay, Brandon got it. Matt's triggered, but Matt, you'll like that the first response. Care. No. The first response is from Ass under Souffle, and he says it's the answer to what is something that is yours yet everyone uses more than you. He said your mother, and I thought that was a fun response. But
oh, I just thought of one that.
Your social security number in an Indian call center.
What's the difference between a pickpocket and a peeping Tom?
What?
One snatches watches, the other watches snatches.
See, I feel like that's more of a joke than a riddle.
Yeah, well, it can be a, well, it can be a, it's sort of like a play on words.
I'm going to go pull Margo out of bed and make her tell me a riddle that has pissed me off at some point. Get out of bed.
Why do baby ducks walk softly?
Why?
Because they can't walk hardly.
Oh, gosh.
All right, time to move on.
All right, yeah, maybe we should switch the subjects. I realize this is going to be
What's the difference between a cat and a comma? One has claws at the end of its paws. The other is a pause at the end of a clause. Riddle me this, man. Matthew.
Yeah.
No. Oh, okay.
Oh man, that was a good segment.
Maybe we should do a regular riddle, like a weekly riddle.
Should we change our podcast to be only riddles?
We'll have zero contributions. Maybe a podcast of two.
Change
riddle
it to
me this. Who gives a fuck?
two riddles and one grumpy big grump face. Oh man.
All right. The one I have chosen comes from Ask Reddit.
Hit us with your question, Brandon.
From user TooMad316. Hey, is that your username, Matt? You're too mad right now.
316.
Are we still live?
We are.
What's always a miserable buying experience and more difficult than it should be?
Sorry, I was approaching this as like you were doing another riddle.
I know. It sounded like a riddle. I was like, oh, I can't wait.
What's I automatically the answer? It out.
What's between it?
Can you repeat it?
What's always a miserable buying experience and more difficult than it should be?
Vehicles.
Oh, yeah, vehicles, hands
yeah,
down.
That's the top answer. Cars is the top one. They said just no comparison in the household buying a car.
We got new carpet not too long ago, and I wouldn't say that wasn't a hassle. Actually, you have to like go to the store, get samples to take home, put the samples in your house, and then once you finally decide on that, then you have to move all the shit out of your like rooms as much as you can. I don't know. I will say though, it was worth it in the end because we got a new pad and everything. It's like a tiny little massages on our feet.
Ooh, that's nice.
But I would say it was a longer process than it needed to be.
How long have you guys been in that house?
We built it in 2013.
Oh my gosh, that's wild.
And the carpet, so there was nothing to write home about to begin with. And then they put like the basic pad that you could put in to get away with it for construction to be like, nope, this is a home. Just send it.
Right, right.
And now that we have this in, I was like, God, we got fucked for the longest time.
Yeah, it's a big difference.
The pad makes all the difference. Yeah. So I know a lot of people like, let's get rid of carpet and just put hardwoods in. And I find carpet to be nice and cozy. We have hardwood on the main floor and carpet upstairs and in our basement.
I think a lot of people do that.
It's just nice, especially with like the area we live in where it's cold and it's like noise dampening too. It's like you have kids running around your house and it's not so echoey. It's nice.
That's huge. Yeah.
My grandfather never wanted hardwood floors in their house because he said like he had this mentality that growing up, poor people had hardwood floors. They just had the floorboards and rich people had carpet. So carpet was a luxury thing.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting take. Huh?
Yeah.
Wait. So was he the guy that had carpet in the bathroom?
No, I don't think he took it that far, but
my grandparents did. One set of my grandparents had carpet in the bathroom, and like as a kid, it was actually kind of nice. I will have this hot take. Carpet in the bathroom and up to the toilet is kind of nice, especially on like if you wake up in the middle of the night or like cold mornings.
Yeah, chilly.
However, you got to understand, like, this is a 9-year-old kid that probably misses quite a bit. It's like, where does that go? You just vacuum it up.
Nope, but you sure don't. That's pretty gross.
They even went so far. They had a carpeted and squishy toilet seat.
Oh, I remember those.
Yeah. That one was kind of wild.
The toilet seat itself was carpeted?
Yeah, it was fabric, but also
the cover?
No, the seat. The seat was fabric and squishy.
No, I don't remember that.
Mind you, this is the grandma that
had. So you're just sitting on a sponge?
Yeah.
Mm.
Hopefully not a damp one. But
yeah, you this sit is down and it just goes and like you ring it out.
God. This was the grandparents. Like that grandpa would sit in the bathroom for at least 45 minutes and do one of those Fabio novels, like Western style, but it was Western. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that grandma had a heart attack in the bathroom too. So maybe it was just too cozy, but I don't know. But it was. I'm going to say I don't hate the fact that people would put carpet in their bathroom.
I remember my grandparents had one bathroom that had carpet in it, or like a portion of it was carpeted. But I'm on board with that.
It's a choice. It's dated at this point.
But... yeah, it is dated.
I can't sanction that. It seems like it would
not too sure of your aim.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's also a lot of water besides besides urine. There's a lot of water in the bathroom, and
there is.
You have to
moisture, really... like just like ambient moisture. You're right. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. And then it's just kind of like, ugh.
About if there was like parts like you had a section that was you get out of the shower and it's like a section for just a mat.
So you invented bath mats?
No, I'm saying like it's just a mat that you can, you know, wash and replace as needed. But the rest would be just fixed carpet.
Mm.
Still well, no.
Then what's the point of
comfort?
Well, the
fashion
mats. The thing about mats is that you can throw in you can throw them in the laundry.
Yeah,
but yeah.
Anyway, what was the question again?
It was about what's difficult
always a miserable buying experience and more difficult than it should be.
Yeah,
I'll say, we said cars, but also houses. Just like houses in general. You said housing things, but also houses.
What are those things you live in again?
Houses. No, I realize.
Yeah, the home buying experience was very nerve wracking. I guess you could say daunting.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, sweet, you bought this one. The offer went through. Good for you. Now you owe $500,000.
I know. And the fact that it's like double blind, not double blind. What is that called? Like you don't know how much you're going to pay. Like you have to just put in a blind offer and hope that it exceeds your whoever you're bidding against. But then you might just be like way overbidding and you don't know it. The whole thing. I mean, I think any sort of bartering thing blows my mind and I find irritating. I know some people like it, but I don't like it. But especially when you're dealing with that much money, it seems like it should be like all up front. There shouldn't be like ambiguity.
No hidden fees.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say even like clothes shopping. Like I don't like trying on clothes at the store. I mean, I know that's like, it's not miserable, but I just don't like taking on and putting on, you know, taking off and putting on clothes a bunch of times. And
it does feel like a waste of time. Like I'm going to spend my Saturday going to find new jeans.
And then it is, you know, inevitably, if I don't try it on in the store, I try it on at home and something doesn't fit and I have to go back anyway. So, but some popular answers on here besides the car. Buying flight tickets with ultra low cost airlines. This person says Ryanair will bombard you with surprise fees for everything on top of the base ticket price.
Granted, their planes stay in the air.
This other person says funeral shopping.
Super
opaque, and the industry
knows.
That's
a thing. That's something I realized after my grandparents died that, like, I don't know if they enjoyed doing, but they definitely planned ahead. Like my grandparents had plots for themselves and then their kids and in case their daughters didn't get married. And I don't know. It's kind of a weird, morbid experience. I don't think we do anymore.
No,
you're
right. I don't think we do, but I think having watched the aftermath of someone passing and then having the family members have to sort of deal with it from a, like, it's already a lot to deal with it on an emotional level to then also have to do like the logistical stuff it's just terrible. So like, you know, obviously no one wants to plan for their death, but it is a huge gift, I guess, to have it planned and like ready to go. That's what I plan on doing.
The guessing work out of it. And
yeah. So like beyond expenses. A will, but like also just like having it all sorted, like having it all situated as best as you can. I plan on doing that for my sort of twilight years.
So now?
You son of a bitch.
Well, like,
what's your headstone going to say?
I'm gonna get fried. I'm gonna be battered and fried.
Do you guys plan to be buried and have a plot somewhere?
I don't really know.
No, I'm gonna as best as I can. I'm gonna go back to the earth as a particle in which other small creatures can vitalize themselves.
I kind of like the idea of doing that whole decomposition thing, and then you get turned into mulch.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like I'm alive right now, so it's kind of weird for me to think that would happen to my body. I don't know. There's something that's like blocking me from acknowledging it. Even the fact, I don't know. Sure. To me, it seems more rational to be like, no. I'm going to be put into a casket and buried. And in our state, you have to be put into a concrete barrier. And that's just from ecological standpoint. So it's like, even if the zombie apocalypse happened, you couldn't break out because there's a concrete barrier around your casket. Even still, that seems more rational than being like, no, put me into a furnace or put me into a 55-gallon drum and turn me into mulch.
There's a really great Rosencrantz and Guildenstern monologue about that idea of being scared of being put into a coffin and then underground, and the dichotomy between like you as like a living being thinking about that is claustrophobic and lonely and sad and depressing, but once you're there, like, you won't have any of those emotions or feelings or anything like that. So, but yeah, like thinking about them, you can't not think about it as a living person, because you're a living person thinking about it and trying to put yourself in like the space not being alive and sort of experiencing that firsthand. Is almost impossible. But I wish I had the exact quote up, because they explore it really eloquently in that show.
Honestly, I think being buried somewhere in New Orleans is less anxiety driven, because you know, like, what if, for example, I wake up? Then you could just push yourself out of your coffin and then open up the door because you're buried above ground and be like, well, that was weird. You know?
Yeah. Also with that is I do kind of like the idea of, you know, they do the thing like 1 year and 1 day later, they open it up and then like push all of your bones to the back and it collects at the bottom and you're just mingling, your bones and everything are mingling with your relatives. And
yeah,
and I kind of like,
or they open it up and you'll be like, I'm not dead yet. It's like, oh, what other answers did you have?
We did have to take it to somewhere dark. This person says concert tickets, which I agree with. Hate the queues. Convention hotels have a similar energy, stressful. Blah, blah, blah. But like, yeah, like concert tickets, like you have to, you know, wait in a line, and then it's always super expensive. There's always extra fees, and then you have to, you know, you can pay for parking ahead of time, and that's always expensive. And I don't know, it seems like a huge ordeal.
In the same vein as concert tickets, signing up for summer camps for whatever reason, it's like for the kids, it's like just like a concert ticket sale drop, where you have to like I just signed up for $1,500 worth of
camp
kids camps. Yeah, and I did. I had to like reserve time in my work day because I was going to get an email with the code, with the advance purchase code, to advance purchase these camps for the boys during the intercession and summer like days. And it's wild. Like, how can there be that many kids? But
it's a thing.
I'll tell you, if that's a business to get into, is organizing a above average summer camp for kids. That's
a summer camp that isn't 1 week at a time.
Yeah, super lucrative.
Yeah, what about vacation Bible school? Have you looked into that?
I sure haven't. Is it free?
They're all free. Yep.
That's how they get you.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of repeating, like home appliances or tools, which I don't think that's as bad. But
home appliances, I threw those out because you have to, like, for example, we're looking at replacing our gas range with induction, but you have to have, and we're landlocked by granite countertop. So it's like you have to know your measurements. Like, you can't just go out and buy one. It's like, oh, I like that one. Well, that's not going to fit because it's not the exact dimensions. Like, God damn it.
Yeah. And I mean, with, like, you know, more expensive purchases, you want to take your time, obviously. And, you know, I don't know. Do you guys, like, do a lot of research before you buy, before you spend a lot of money? Or are you just kind of like, whatever?
I just light it on fire and throw it away.
Yeah, it depends. Sometimes I do, and sometimes I don't. Anna really does. Anna goes, like, she's a researcher at heart. So when the opportunity arises, even if she doesn't want to, she does. And so I definitely reap the benefits from that.
I think it kind of depends on what it is. What's something that you would research, like washers and dryers, or?
Yeah, or I'll look up a restaurant's menu before I go there, but like, I'll read the reviews, and I'll even like look up to see if, you know, because I don't always trust online reviews, but, you know, I'll look up like the Reddit to see if anybody's said anything about it, if there's, like, you know, good, bad, or otherwise information. Or
I think that's pretty like standard and fair, though. Like, I wouldn't book a reservation for a restaurant and be like, what's the menu? I don't know, just sounded cool.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I, well, for like restaurants,
vegan restaurant or something.
Yeah, I mean, for restaurants, I don't like do a ton of research, but I'll usually look up their menu. But like, if I am buying something more expensive, yeah, I'll look up reviews or try to find out as much information as I can before making a decision.
That makes sense. Yeah. We've done this a couple of times now, and the first one was atrocious. This one I'm still on the fence about, but fucking mattress shopping.
Oh.
Like, there is no way, I think, individuals can say that's the one I want after sitting on it for 5 minutes. And 5 minutes is even generous of, like, the time that you get, especially if you're trying to do it with kids, you know, like,
oh, forget it. Yeah.
I don't know. I think the mattresses, like the whole mattress industry, I think, is a racket to begin with.
Yeah.
But the shopping of them is, I don't know, like, oh, and we buy the tax, we pay the taxes for you, and da-da-da-da-da. It's like, ugh. Then you get it in your house.
Have you guys ever bought
it for like a month, and you're like, fuck, this thing sucks.
Have you guys ever bought a mattress from like one of the online mattress places where it's like, you can sleep on this for 100 nights or return it for free or whatever?
We got Casper mattresses, and we like them.
Is Casper the purple one?
That's purple mattress, right?
Oh yeah.
Is that what it is? Just purple mattress?
I think it's purple is the brand. Yeah, no, Casper was one of the first sort of like, or what I remember to be one of the first sort of male mattresses where it like comes.
I remember hearing ads for Casper on podcasts a long time ago.
Yeah. We're happy with them. Yeah. So much so that we have positive elements of our parenting, but one of the negative elements was that we weren't good at sleep training. And so we ended up co-sleeping for a really long time. And the result of that was that one of our kids got a nice Casper mattress in order for us to be able to sleep comfortably next to them. And so
the ultimate gotcha.
Yeah, so we actually got pretty bougie with our mattresses, and all three, everybody sleeps on a Casper mattress. we should get them to sponsor the podcast, I guess. But
it's crazy. Like, it's, I don't want to say a point of contention, but the mattress that's here right next to me, this is like our guest room in my office area.
Uh-huh.
This is the most comfortable bed I've ever slept on.
Yeah.
And we have purchased two mattresses in that one. And we're just trying to replicate it. We even went so far as to like take pictures of, you know, the thing that's illegal to take off. Like, here's right. the serial number here. Like, just find us something that is similar to that. And they can't do it. Like, there's something about this bed that is just like perfect. So it's almost a competition of like, oh, how'd you end up in that bed last night? Oh, because you were snoring. Like, no, you didn't. You just wanted to
nah, get nah, that's not how it went down.
You start like picking fights with each other just so you can sleep in the other bed.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm sleeping on the other bed.
Well, I hate those pants. I'm going to go sleep in the other room.
What is it about that mattress? So I know you can't tell exactly what it is, but the mattresses that you got that you tried to match them, are they too soft or too solid, or what? So
the first one was too soft and it had a big pillow top to it. And I thought that's what I like. What I think I liked about this bed was it was very soft and like kind of conforming. That wasn't the case for that one. So we got rid of it. We got this new one and it was like semi-firm and a small pillow top. And it's like, it's close. But I think what it is about this one is that it's ultimately firm. And I didn't know that I just like it firm.
Mm.
Insert joke there. but this one is just like it there. I can't really identify what it is. It's just so nice. But it's a queen and it's like we're a king family.
Ah,
just are.
It's good to be king.
But anyway, mattress shopping sucks.
Yeah,
the juice is not worth the squeeze.
No, that's for sure. And they're not inexpensive. Like, even on big sales, they're still fucking $1,000 or whatever.
There's also a racket. They're like, oh, it's Labor Day. They seem to have like sales for everything. Like, what happened today? I don't know. It's the Sandy Hook anniversary. Mattresses Jesus are half Christ. Off. You know, I was like, God. And we'll cover the taxes for you and free delivery. It's like, jeez, God.
For me, I think miserable buying experience is just Costco anytime, any day of the week.
Like, what?
Trying no. to get what? Out of there.
Costco's amazing. You Costco's like great. Costco? Really?
I like Costco, the concept of Costco. I don't like going to Costco and
just because of how
Costco.
Crowded it is?
Yeah.
Oh,
you got to go on a Tuesday at 10 a.m.
Well, I found something that works well is like an hour before they close works pretty good. It's usually not too bad.
I'm usually there like 15 minutes before they open.
But like any time, like we've gone, like we've had days off, like just random days off in the middle of the week, and we'll go and it's packed in, I don't know.
Really?
I
will say like I hate going on Sundays. That and like Winco at the beginning of the month on the weekend.
Yeah.
Is oh God. That is painful. But like I don't know. Don't you get some of your clothes from Costco, Brandon?
I have, yeah.
But you can't try those on.
Right.
Ooh, that's also another poor experience is trying to return things at Costco. Because those people really? That like...
You get like 3 months or something.
Oh, you can get longer than that. It's the lines, right? It's the people
oh,
that...
Oh, I see what you're
actually,
saying.
Actually, I will say that, like, I had to return something like a week or two ago and there was no line. It was like a miracle.
Really?
Yeah. Oh.
Man, I've always found like there is always a line wrapped out around the door of like people that took a bite of something and they're like, this is terrible. Refund my money, and which is really unfortunate for the manufacturers, because I learned the return policy is so if anybody returns an item or they don't sell the item, the manufacturer is responsible for purchasing it back. So they then have to purchase it back. So you could have something, take a bite of it, hate it. Even though you bought it from Costco, they got your money. They're going to refund it to you, but they make their money on the back end by charging the manufacturer who sold it to Costco to begin with.
That's an interesting, that's wild that they have so many.
Is it just like
brands that do business with them?
Well, they don't. So that's the whole thing, is Costco only ever wants you to have three different options of any given thing. Like, you can go there and they only have two options for mustard and ketchup and olive oil and stuff. They want to narrow it as much as possible.
Sure. I guess that's true.
Is that just their way of saying, like, you know, if you want your stuff sold in Costco, then that's how it has to be.
Yep. If you want that, like that mass volume and that brand power, got to get behind it or not at all.
Interesting.
But yeah, the returning things at Costco I found to be, I haven't done it, but the lines look painful of just I don't want to say Karens, but people that probably have unrealistic expectations of the purchase that they did. And like, nope, this one thing is completely off about it, and I'm going to return it because I know your return policy is so great.
I was honestly surprised at how quick it was, because I know I've seen the lines get really long, and I don't know, like, they just said, did you take it out of the box? Was there something wrong with it? Okay, here's the money coming back to your card. And that was it.
That's it?
Huh. Yeah.
Maybe I should have.
I mean, I had the receipt, opinions, so that might have made it easier. But
you did?
Yeah.
I guess they could look it up on your Costco card too.
True.
Interesting. Anyway. any other enlightening?
No, we kind of hit all the major ones, but this episode's running long, so we better wrap it up.
Yeah, let's wrap it put up. A pin in it. Nice job, everybody. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah, thank you for listening. Please support the show over at Patreon, patreon.com/qualifiednonsense. Give us a watch over at YouTube, at youtube.com/@qualifiednonsense. Feel free to send any questions or comments to qualifiednonsense@gmail.com, or hit us up on our socials found in the episode description. And after you've done all that, please rate, review, share, like, and subscribe on your podcast app of choice. And we'll see you back here next week for another brand new episode of Qualified Nonsense.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye, y'all.
There it is. All right. We'll see you next week.